Chapter 138. Why should I seek to change? Apostrophe said I, what has been so precious to me for so long? You never can show better than as your own natural self, my sweet Dora, and we'll try no conceited experiments, but go back to our old way, and be happy. Apostrophe, and be happy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned Dora. Yes. All day. And you won't mind things going a tiny morsel wrong, sometimes? Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe said one. We must do the best we can. Apostrophe, and you won't tell me, anymore, that we make other people bad, apostrophe coaxed Dora, will you? Because you know it's so dreadfully cross. Apostrophe, apostrophe, no, no, apostrophe said one. It's better for me to be stupid than uncomfortable, isn't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dora. Better to be naturally Dora than anything else in the world. Apostrophe, in the world. Ah, Dodie, it's a large place. Apostrophe, she shook her head, turned her delighted bright eyes up to mine, kissed me, broke into a merry laugh, and sprang away to put on Jip's new collar. So ended my last attempt to make any change in Dora. I had been unhappy in trying it. I could not endure my own solitary wisdom. I could not reconcile it with her former appeal to me as my child wife. I resolved to do what I could, in a quiet way, to improve our proceedings myself, but I foresaw that my utmost would be very little, or I must degenerate into the spider again, and be forever lying in wait. And the shadow I have mentioned, that was not to be between us any more, but was to rest wholly on my own heart? How did that fall? The old unhappy feeling pervaded my life. It was deepened, if it were changed at all, but it was as undefined as ever, and addressed me like a strain of sorrowful music faintly heard in the night. I loved my wife dearly, and I was happy, but the happiness I had vaguely anticipated, once, was not the happiness I enjoyed, and there was always something wanting. In fulfillment of the compact I have made with myself, to reflect my mind on this paper, I again examine it, closely, and bring its secrets to the light. What I missed, I always regarded as something that had been a dream of my youthful fancy, that was incapable of realization, that I was now discovering to be so, with some natural pain, as all men did. But that it would have been better for me, if my wife could have helped me more, and shared the many thoughts in which I had no partner, and that this might have been, I knew. Between these two irreconcilable conclusions, the one, that what I felt, was general and unavoidable, the other, that it was particular to me, and might have been different. I balanced curiously, with no distinct sense of their opposition to each other. When I thought of the airy dreams of youth, that are incapable of realization, I thought of the better state preceding manhood, that I had outgrown. And then the contented days with Agnes, in the dear old house, arose before me, like specters of the dead, that might have some renewal in another world, but never more could be reanimated here. Sometimes, the speculation came into my thoughts, what might have happened, or what would have happened, if Dora and I had never known each other. But she was so incorporated with my existence, that it was the idlest of all fancies, and would soon rise out of my reach and sight, like gossamer floating in the air. I always loved her. What I am describing, slumbered, and half awoke, and slept again, in the innermost recesses of my mind. There was no evidence of it in me. I know of no influence it had in anything I said or did. I bore the weight of all our little cares, and all my projects. Dora held the pens, and we both felt that our shares were adjusted as the case required. She was truly fond of me, and proud of me, and when Agnes wrote a few earnest words in her letters to Dora, of the pride and interest with which my old friends heard of my growing reputation, and read my book, as if they heard me speaking its contents, Dora read them out to me with tears of joy in her bright eyes, and said I was a dear old clever, famous boy. The first mistaken impulse of an undisciplined heart. apostrophe those words of Mrs. Strong's were constantly recurring to me, at this time, were almost always present to my mind. I awoke with them, often, in the night. I remember to have even read them, in dreams, inscribed upon the walls of houses. For I knew, now, that my own heart was undisciplined, when it first loved Dora, and that if it had been disciplined, it never could have felt, when we were married, what it had felt in its secret experience. There can be no disparity in marriage, like unsuitability of mind and purpose. Apostrophe those words I remembered to. I had endeavored to adapt Dora to myself, and found it impracticable. It remained for me to adapt myself to Dora, to share with her what I could, and be happy, to bear on my own shoulders what I must, and be happy still. This was the discipline to which I tried to bring my heart, when I began to think. It made my second year much happier than my first, and, what was better still, made Dora's life all sunshine. But, as that year wore on, Dora was not strong. I had hoped that lighter hands than mine would help to mold her character, and that a baby smile upon her breast might change my child wife to a woman. It was not to be. The spirit fluttered for a moment on the threshold of its little prison, and, unconscious of captivity, took wing. When I can run about again, as I used to do, and, apostrophe said Dora, I shall make Jip race. He is getting quite slow and lazy. Apostrophe, I suspect, my dear, apostrophe said my aunt quietly working by her side, he has a worse disorder than that. H, Dora. Apostrophe, do you think he is old? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dora, astonished. Oh, how strange it seems that Jip should be old. Apostrophe, apostrophe, it's a complaint we are all liable to, little one, as we get on in life, apostrophe said my aunt, cheerfully. I don't feel more free from it than I used to be, I assure you. Apostrophe, but Jip, apostrophe said Dora, looking at him with compassion, even little Jip. Oh, poor fellow. Apostrophe, I dare say he'll last a long time yet, Blossom, apostrophe said my aunt, patting Dora on the cheek, as she leaned out of her couch to look at Jip, who responded by standing on his hind legs, and bulking himself in various asthmatic attempts, to scramble up by the head and shoulders. He must have a piece of flannel in his house this winter, and I shouldn't wonder if he came out quite fresh again, with the flowers in the spring. Bless the little dog! Apostrophe exclaimed my aunt, if he had as many lives as a cat, and was on the point of losing them all, he'd bark at me with his last breath, I believe. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Dora had helped him up on the sofa, where he really was defying my aunt to such a furious extent that he couldn't keep straight, but barked himself sideways. The more my aunt looked at him, the more he reproached her. For she had lately taken to spectacles, and for some inscrutable reason he considered the glasses personal. Dora made him lie down by her, with a good deal of persuasion, and when he was quiet, drew one of his long ears through and through her hand, repeating thoughtfully, even little Jip. Oh, poor fellow! Apostrophe, apostrophe, his lungs are good enough, apostrophe said my aunt, gaily, and his dislikes are not at all feeble. He has a good many years before him, no doubt. But if you want a dog to race with, little Blossom, he has lived too well for that, and I'll give you one. Apostrophe, thank you, aunt, apostrophe said Dora, faintly. But don't please. Apostrophe, no? Apostrophe, apostrophe said my aunt, taking off her spectacles. I couldn't have any other dog but Jip, apostrophe said Dora. It would be so unkind to Jip. Besides, I couldn't be such friends with any other dog but Jip, because he wouldn't have known me before I was married, and wouldn't have barked at Dodie when he first came to our house. I couldn't care for any other dog but Jip, I am afraid, aunt. Apostrophe, to be sure. Apostrophe, apostrophe said my aunt, patting her cheek again. You are right. Apostrophe, you are not offended, apostrophe said Dora. Are you? Apostrophe, why, what a sensitive pet it is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried my aunt, bending over her affectionately. To think that I could be offended. Apostrophe, no, no, I didn't really think so, apostrophe, returned Dora. But I am a little tired, and it made me silly for a moment. I am always a silly little thing, you know, but it made me more silly to talk about Jip. He has known me and all that has happened to me, haven't you, Jip? And I couldn't bear to slight him, because he was a little altered, could I, Jip? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Jip nestled closer to his mistress, and lazily licked her hand. You are not so old, Jip, are you, that you will leave your mistress yet? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Dora. We may keep one another company a little longer. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my pretty Dora. When she came down to dinner on the ensuing Sunday, and was so glad to see old Traddles, who always dined with us on Sunday, we thought she would be running about as she used to do, in a few days. But they said, wait a few days more, and then, wait a few days more, and still she neither ran nor walked. She looked very pretty, and was very merry, but the little feet, that used to be so nimble, when they danced round Jip, were dull and motionless. I began to carry her downstairs every morning, and upstairs every night. She would clasp me round the neck and laugh, the while, as if I did it for a wager. Jip would bark, and caper round us, and go on before, and look back on the landing, breathing short, to see that we were coming. My aunt, the best and most cheerful of nurses, would trudge after us, a moving mass of shawls and pillows. Mr. Dick would not have relinquished his post of candle-bearer to anyone alive. Traddles would be often at the bottom of the staircase, looking on, and taking charge of sportive messages from Dora to the dearest girl in the world. We made quite a gay procession of it, and my child wife was the gayest there. But, sometimes, when I took her up, and felt that she was lighter in my arms, a dead blank feeling came upon me, as if I were approaching to some frozen region yet unseen, that numbed my life. I avoided the recognition of this feeling by any name, or by any communing with myself, until one night, when it was very strong upon me, and my aunt had left her with a parting cry of good night, little blossom, apostrophe, I sat down at my desk alone, and cried to think, oh what a fatal name it was, and how the blossom withered in its bloom upon the tree. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.